welcome everybody. It's lovely to see you all. Thank you, Karen's family, for invading us, as you always do, with such joy. So that's the gathering around the mat. But thank you for everybody else who's come here to worship. Let's pray. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being in this place at this time to give you praise. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the hope and faith and love that you've given to us. And thank you that we are a family, your family, gathered here together with you. And Lord, help us to make the most of it. Amen. Right, it is wonderful to see you. Couple of things we have to do. Firstly, to get your voices lubricated, we need to sing happy birthday to a couple of people. Very quiet people who have both given permission for us to sing happy birthday to them. So we have Christine Legg and Sheila Goldsmith, both of whom's birthdays are today. Anybody else's birthday today? No one else? Because we don't want to feel missing out. So could we sing happy birthday to Christine and Sheila, please? One of the more difficult name twisters we've had on Happy Birthday, isn't it? A couple of other things. Firstly, today's communion offering, if you want to give, we always have on a communion Sunday an opportunity to give in addition to our regular giving. And if you'd like to give as communion, the offering this month is going to UCB, the Bible broadcasters, the Bible note writers and so on. We have Bible notes on the table outside theirs if you'd like to have a look at those. They provide a word for today, God's word for today. And as we heard in the service yesterday, if you watched it or heard it, God's word is supremely important. So there's an opportunity to give to the work of UCB if you'd like to. We have a very special weekend next weekend. It's church anniversary. And Debbie, if you'd like to come up, you've got a couple of notices to bring. But the first thing I want to say is food. Who signed up so far to have lunch next Sunday? There aren't many. It's going to be great. It's a party. We are so blessed to have a church family. As you can imagine, I would love to be there, but the first time, I'm going to miss it because I've got the operation on Thursday, and so I'm going to be resting for a few weeks. So I can't be there. Now, if I could, I would. You can, so do. Sign up on the sheet outside. It's going to be a proper lunch, blessed by people making things. But do come and remind other people. Today's the last day for planning, so people can ring in to Joan, whatever, email Joan if you can come. But do come. Don't miss the opportunity to celebrate the fact that God has given us a church family, particularly at this time. I know there's a number of people who are so grateful they have a church family. And it's never something to be taken for granted. And that's why we have a church anniversary. And Steve Coslett, who's a chaplain with the Royal Navy, and he's going to be coming to speak. He was previously associate minister at Upton Vale, a lovely man, and God's given him a word for us. And so do come next Sunday if you can to hear that. And we have the anniversary lunch, and we also have an opportunity to give. Full details are in Keeping in Touch, but it's an opportunity to give to the work of other charities, to other organizations, to bless them because of the blessing we have received. And Debbie's going to tell us a bit more about next week as well, and then a notice about tomorrow.
Yeah. So, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. One of the things that we would like to do to celebrate our anniversary is for everybody to get involved by decorating or giving us an idea to decorate a pebble that will go into the Psalm 23 garden, because we're making a dry pebble stream through the middle of it. We've already started having pebbles decorated. They can be really bright and fun. This one is beautiful. It says, "He is risen." Absolutely beautiful, with the three crosses and the sun coming up. We've got this one, which is faith. We've got lots of others, but they can be just as simple as this one, which just says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Somebody has written, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, we have a large number of pebbles, and we're getting some more again today. We haven't been raiding the beach for these. If you do have one from your garden or on a walk and you want to pick a pebble up and use that, that's great. But please don't think that you're going to gather too many for us, because it's illegal. But we are organising more pebbles. We're suggesting that either people over the next few weeks can come and do a pebble here, and I'll be putting out the pebbles and the painting on Fridays at coffee morning, and also if people want me to, I'll put them out on a Sunday as well at coffee time. Or you can take a pebble away, or if it's really not your thing, if you want on a little envelope or a post-it sticker to put a scripture or a little picture, doodle, we will transfer that onto a pebble for you. But we would really like every single person to do something as our body of Christ coming together, but also it means all of you will have contributed to the garden as well. We're using acrylic paints, and then what we're doing is lacquering over the top to give them a bit of robustness. So we're using acrylic paints. There are quite a few felt tips that if you look at it, they're suitable for on, as long as they're not wipe off or wash off. There's quite a lot of felt tips around and paints around that you can use. But we've got all of the equipment here if you want to have a go. So leading on from that, as part of the coronation weekend, obviously, we've got bank holiday tomorrow. And the king asked that maybe people would like to do some volunteering on bank holiday Monday of the coronation weekend. So we are holding a garden working group tomorrow morning between 10 and 12 to put together our vegetable plot in the garden. And we've also got some other planting to do. And there's a little bit of weeding if anybody would like to. And also in the afternoon, we will be open for coffee and cake, and all the pebble stuff and the hobby stuff will be out. And it would be an opportunity for you to come along if you'd like to and do a pebble. But also, it's an opportunity for anybody who isn't normally available to come on a Monday to see what happens, to get involved. And you're welcome to bring family. Young people are welcome as well, children. And, you know, many hands make light work. So it would be really great if people could come along. 10 till 12, there'll be refreshments. For gardening, just make sure that you are not wearing your best clothes. And also to do the painting of pebbles. And if anybody wants to bring a sandwich at lunchtime and join us between 12 and 1, we will be there. All right? Thank you, everybody.
We're going to be praying for our new king and queen. Well, they've been there for a while, haven't they? But in a particular way now. Our King and Queen. We're going to be doing that later on in our service, just so that you're aware that's very much part of today's service. One thing Mark asked me just to say to you, he's very kindly offered to give an update on my progress, I'm sure Sheila's progress as well, of our operations at the end of this week, so people don't have to bother Leslie. But thank you for all your love and support for all those in the church who are going through different things. It is so much part of our family. life that we care for one another. And it's a great thing looking around today to see so many people who are loving and caring for one another. Right. A verse from our Bible reading, which we're going to have later on, says this: Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. God is on the move. God is at work. We come now to a time of worship, and our first hymn is one of those ones, if you're not careful, you can just sing it without realizing what it's talking about. Glorious things of thee are spoken. And it's not talking about God. The one that glorious things of thee are spoken is Zion, city of our God. God is on the move, building his kingdom, building his church. He has been for thousands of years, and he's doing it now. And so as we start our time of worship, we're focusing on what he's doing and the glory of what he's doing. I'm sure a lot of you saw a lot of glory yesterday. The pomp and circumstance, the bright reds, the thousands of people in the processions, the vestments, the beautiful music and the building, and so much glory. But none of it compares to the glory of the Lord and the glory of his kingdom. So let's pray and then we'll stand and worship. Lord God, reveal your glory, we pray. And help us to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. Comes from the Lord. God of glory, we exalt your name, you who reign in majesty. glorious in who he is. God is glorious in what he says. And God is glorious in what he does. O Lord, most holy God, great are your purposes. Great is your will for us. Great is your love. And we rejoice in you. And so we sing to you. O Father, have your way. Your will be done. This church, part of your whole church, out of living stones. Thank you that each one of us, when we put our faith in you, becomes a living stone, part of this temple of worship.
Thank you, Lord, for this church family. We're so grateful for everyone who's sitting here this morning. And for all those who are listening to our broadcast too, we love all of you and we want everyone to share in your love. We thank you for our minister and we pray a very special blessing on him today and for Sheila. We want you to bless them, we want you to heal them and return them back to us in full health and strength. We pray this in your precious name.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we enjoyed looking at the amazing splendor yesterday. Yeah. But Jesus, we're conscious that this is nothing like the splendor of you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. The splendor of heaven, the splendor of what we'll find that day when we meet you will be nothing compared to what we saw. Because there will be nothing compared to it, Jesus. No words that can describe the splendor of your majesty.
Amen. Jesus, we thank you for your promise that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are present. We thank you that you are here by your Spirit. And we pray as we go through this service, all the different elements, it's all worship. It's all offering ourselves to you and meeting you and giving you glory and praise. As we take up our offering now, as we give to you of our gifts that you've given to us, it's our worship. Everything we give, every breath, Every smile, every look, every word, everything we have, we give to you, Lord. Amen. Amen. We take up our offering now. This is for those who are regularly part of the church, our guests, our visitors. Feel free to pass the bag by. And if you want to give as your act of worship, then do join in. But we're after you, not your money, as we always say. Loves a cheerful giver. That's what it says in the Bible, and it's great to have fun giving to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts to us. Thank you for the level of generosity you place within us that we want to grow and grow. And today we give you these gifts. Multiply them, we pray, that many more people will come to know the glory of your love. Amen. Right. Today, we have a special activity. I'm waving at the children at the back there. They can see me here. We have packs here today of pens and cards. And what I'd like you to do, and I put, there's a pack here and a card here, just in case Liz was here, because Liz always does beautiful pictures as well. There are more outside. I'd love you to do a picture of King Charles. It could be on his throne, it could be with his queen, Queen Camilla, could be with the rest of the family. It could be out in the back of Buckingham Palace Gardens with all the troops. It could be having a meal. Imagine about 20 to 3 after the last balcony appearance. Where's me grub? Imagine they were sitting thinking, I need food. So the reason we're going to do this is we're going to pray for King Charles and Queen Camilla after communion. We're going to pray for them. And so you might want to do a picture. You might even want to put a prayer down. You might want to write a prayer. So we'll come back to them later on. And that would be great. So King Charles, it doesn't have to be like him. This is not an artist thing. But just King Charles, and if you'd like a prayer. And if you want, anybody else wants to grab a card or a pen, feel free. During the week, I saw the Dartmouth steam train, which I see regularly, and I'm always pleased to see at the other end from the steam engine, the Devon Bell. I'm told that the Devon Bell was the name of a whole train, but now it's just the name of the observation car. So you've got Hercules at the front, was the engine, but right at the end, there's the observation car. What is the observation car for? Pam, would you say?
I said
to observe. To observe. The clue's in the name. It's got dirty, great big windows, so you can see lots. Sorry? Clean windows. Yes, Andrew says, yes, they're clean windows. Big, clean windows. God has given us the Holy Spirit so we can observe through big, clean windows. Him and what he's doing. So let's pray now before we hear God's word that we will observe notice. Lord, we thank you, you've given us the Holy Spirit specifically so that we might understand you and your word. We might see Jesus. Help us by your Spirit to observe today. Amen. So our Bible reading is Valerie, if you'd like to come up. Thank you.
The reading is Zechariah chapter 2, and it's on page 951. Then I looked up, and there before me was a man with a measuring line in his hand. I asked, "Where are you going?" He answered me, "To measure Jerusalem, to find out how wide and how long it is." While the angel who was speaking to me was leaving, another angel came to meet him and said to him, "Run, tell that young man, Jerusalem will be a city without walls because of the great number of people and animals in it. And I myself will be a wall of fire around it, declares the Lord, and I will be its glory within. Come, come, flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord, for I have scattered you to the four winds of heaven, declares the Lord. Come, Zion, escape, you who live in daughter Babylon, for this is what the Lord Almighty says. After the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye, I will surely raise my hand against them so that their slaves will plunder them. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me. Shout and be glad, daughter of Zion, for I am coming and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling.
Thank you very much, Valerie. We've heard, as we've been starting to look through the book of Zechariah each Sunday, that God is faithful and God is sovereign. God is in charge. We're told that in this country, King Charles is our sovereign. It's a head of the country. But God is sovereign over everyone and over every king. As we heard yesterday, he's the King of Kings. He is in charge. We've heard in chapter 1 last week how God remembers his chosen people and calls them to return to him. He promises them as they remember him, so he will return to them with mercy and bless them with prosperity. An overwhelming prosperity, an overflowing prosperity. But as we read Zechariah, we need to remember always that this word was given for Judah, the people of God, at that time. It was given for them, their future, but also for us and our future. So what is it saying to us today? That's what we're going to be finding out. Today, we have a third vision, repeating this picture of a measuring line. I brought my tape measure with me today. My tape measure. I used to have a very long tape measure as a surveyor, and I used to measure buildings up with it or pieces of land with my tape measure or a tape, 50 foot or 100 foot, before we got to lasers and so on. A measuring line. Why is this important? Why has God given a vision for a second time of a measuring line? Well, my first thought was in the book of Amos, another prophet, we have a plumb line. And it's a picture of judgment. Is the nation straight or not? It was crooked, not straight. And I thought that might be what God was talking about this time. But I believe the measuring line here is something completely different. How wide and how long is Jerusalem? The angel's checking how wide and how long is Jerusalem. It's God's way of saying that the city of Jerusalem is not going to be wide enough, long enough, big enough to accommodate the great number of people and animals that are going to be coming into it. In order to accommodate all the blessings that God is going to promise and bring to this city, all the people who are going to come and worship Him in this city, it's going to have to be a city without walls. I'm sorry to disappoint you today. It's no longer 3 points. I have 5 points, but they're all short. And the first one is a city without walls. The walls of Jerusalem are symbols of power, status, and protection, but they'd all been broken down and burnt because of the people's disobedience and unfaithfulness to God. A century on, the walls of Jerusalem will be rebuilt under the leadership of Nehemiah. That comes later on in the story. But this, what God is talking about now, is a spiritual rebuilding. This is about the future of who God's people will be. Things are not going to be the same as they were before. The phrase, who's heard of the phrase, church without walls? So few people have come across that. It's a phrase that's quite common now in Christian thinking. In this generation, it describes how God wants to reach out to our community beyond the walls of our buildings, to extend His kingdom in such a way that it won't fit in to our buildings. Not that it ever should have done. The church that Jesus is building is not going to be contained by our buildings, our traditions, our ways, if they are narrow religious ways. The great danger of having a building is that we can easily fall into the mindset of being in control. We're the hosts, everyone else the guests. We're in charge of our environment. How much heat, how much light, who comes in and who doesn't. People have to behave if they're going to come in. They've got to believe the right things if they come in. That's not true. Just to make sure I say that very quickly, in case someone already listens to part of what's on the recording. That's not true, but that's what we can do. The people who are coming to faith in Jesus right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, do not have to fit in to our way of doing things. They do need to be true to the gospel, to God's word, to His values, which we seek to uphold. They do need to be, and we need to be, an authentic demonstration of God's grace. We have to be the new thing that God is doing in our generation. Now, we have a tape measure. Could my glamorous assistant here please help me? Oh, yes, oh, absolutely, wonderfully glamorous. You don't have to sing, just sing. You also have to hold the other... Careful, because it gets a bit tight. Can we measure this? Can we go... Here he goes. I don't know how far this goes, actually. Oh, it's going quite a way. Oh, stop, that's it. That's not bad. So, this is how wide our church is. Okay, let's just... is it going to go back in? I hope so. Okay.
Oh.
Leslie wants me on one of these, you know. She can go like that. Just. How long is our church? Watch out. Bit further, all the way to Ian. Ian, could you hold on to it, please? That's it. Okay, so that's how long. Okay, you can let go now. Sorry, Jimmy. Oh, it's a dangerous thing, isn't it? Our sanctuary, even with the gallery, even with the cross-linked centre, is not big enough. It's not wide enough. It's not long enough to accommodate all the blessings that God wants to bring. All the people that God wants to bring into his kingdom. The word says, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. Many nations. Not just Israel, not just Judah. Many nations. This is the promise that God made to Abraham way before Israel was even founded. Through you, all nations will be blessed. Through your seed, Jesus. So, all nations are going to come in. That's why this needs to be a city without walls. And for us as a church, open to all the people. Point two, the Lord is the protector. In the days of Zechariah, the city needed walls to protect the inhabitants from attack. You can see the same thing was true in this country. Who's walked round the walls of Chester? Yes. Berwick? York? Conway? Chichester? Yeah, they got. Anybody else? Anybody got big walls? Wareham? Yes. Anybody else have any walls?
Great Wall of China.
Great Wall of China, yes, exactly. That was to defend, wasn't it? Huge. The Romans and many others throughout our history knew how to build cities with walls to defend those inside. It's happened all over the world. If Jerusalem is to be a city without walls, it's going to be vulnerable. How can it's going to defend itself from attack? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, of angel armies, gives the answer. What was his answer? Who heard the reading? Fire. Fire. I myself will be a wall of fire around it. Rather than having a wall constructed by human hands, which has to be manned by soldiers with arrows and oil poured down or anything else, God will be a wall of fire that needs no humans to be involved to defend the city. What do you think that would have reminded the Jews of? In the desert, escaping the Egyptians, what defended the people of Israel? God as a pillar of cloud during the day, and at night time, a pillar of fire. Exactly. We can be impressed by our historic cities and their castles with their great walls. If you look at Windsor Castle, it's so impressive, isn't it? You've got the Tower of London. But the security of God's people is not in our buildings, not even our cathedrals or our chapels. It's not in our institutions. It's not in our denomination. It's not even our leaders who've got influence in the corridors of power. Our security is in the Lord. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Yesterday, how many soldiers were there involved and military personnel in the parade? Thank you. There was a lot. And they were all lined up. There was a host. Who's the Lord of hosts? Doesn't matter how many thousands you've got. The Lord is our defender. Thirdly, I will be its glory within. For Zechariah's hearers, a city without walls is not only vulnerable to attack, But it's a picture of shame. Who are you? You're nothing, Jerusalem. You don't look impressive. You have no status, no power, no influence, no glory. You've lost your walls. That's the way the people would have thought. Have you seen the banks, particularly in major cities, in the City of London? What were banks, you know, Lloyds Bank, NatWest Bank, in their original names and so on, what were they built like? Absolutely solid. I'm sure David's served in many a very solid building. Why were they built so big and solid with Greek columns and everything else?
To make people
their money was safe. We are secure. You can trust us. So that's why people, buildings are important. They're important. If we went down to the bank and found it in a half fallen down shack in a side street, yes, we'll have your money. I mean, would you? No. So, God is saying, you may not have impressive walls. You may think you're nothing until you get them back. But God is saying to them, you don't need worldly glory based upon your efforts, your strength. Your glory comes from my presence within. I will be its glory within. Because I've chosen to dwell within this gathering of my people, Jerusalem. Jerusalem is glorious. Because I'm here. Because I'm here. Glorious things of thee are spoken, sang Paignton Baptist Church. We have no glory of our own. We could tell everybody about our history, what we used to do. We could try and be glorious, impressive, and influential in all sorts of ways. We could extend our building again. We could buy the latest digital sound and visual system, a really Bing whiz thing that's all done digitally rather than a, you know, an analog thing with things up and down. We could develop an online presence with lots of photographs. One of the churches locally, a very humble leader, said we could increase our church from 120 to 200, like that. And it's true, because they've got the technology, they've got the personnel that present an online presence, do the digital stuff that could get lots of people thinking, oh wow, this is a great church. But he won't do it, because that's not how you build church. That's just how you build a religious club or a fan club. We will not have any glory of our own by our own efforts. We may have wonderful leaders, and praise God we have wonderful leaders. We had a lovely day on Friday as our leaders away day. A blessed time. And you have, church, wonderful leaders. Humble, spiritual, discerning leaders. But that's not the glory of the church. That's what the world looks for, and it fails to satisfy. True glory is found only in God's presence. The only thing glorious about us is that God, in his mercy and grace, chooses to be present here. Hallelujah. As we gather in the name of Jesus and worship him as our Lord and Saviour, God comes. The apple of his eye. It's a funny expression. Who knows what that means? I'm not asking you to tell me, but we can say it. But what does it mean? For whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. As we heard last week, God is going to bring judgment upon those nations who have plundered his people. They've taken everything valuable away from his people in Babylon. Their own slaves will plunder them. Poetic justice is coming. There will come a time when all those who persecute God's people will be judged. But why? Why is God so concerned about what happens to them? The reason he gives would ring a bell with Zechariah's hearers. 900 years earlier, Moses, just before he died, sang a prophetic song about the deliverance that God had brought from his people Israel. He says this, "In a desert he found him. In a barren and howling waste he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye." The him is Israel, God's people. He, the nation, is the apple of his eye. And I'm told my little study Bible, very helpful, means the little man of the eye. Did you know, children, you've got little men in your eyes? Did you know that? Little men in your eyes. The pupil, a delicate part of the eye that is essential for vision and therefore must be protected at all costs. They are the center of God's vision. God delights in his chosen people. He wants all nations to come to him, but Israel is his own possession, his child, the center of his focus. And do you know, this is the good bit, by grace, through faith in Jesus, we have been grafted in, joined in to God's people, and you are the apple of his eye. You didn't know I was going to come in and talk, saying, you know, at this time, which is not autumn tide, I've just found a bunch of apples. I mean, gala apples are not very good. The New Zealand ones, I keep on forgetting the name of. What's the New Zealand ones? Apples we buy. Yeah, I can't remember them now. Golden Delicious, Granny Smith's, the pink ones. Yes, Pink Lady. Oh, they're my favourite. I actually got a Pink Lady. Hello, Sheila. Pink ladies are wonderful. They're a delight. The apple of his eye. Did you know that's who you are? Who is the apple of your eye? I was thinking of showing some photographs. We haven't got time today, but I could show you photographs of our grandchildren. The apples of our eye. Whoever it is that is in your mind when you think of the apple of your eye. That's how God thinks of you. Wow. And lastly, I will live among you. What is God's aim in all of what Zechariah's talking about? In the whole of what the Bible's talking about? What does God want? It's what he's always wanted. It has always been God's desire to live among his people. Where did it start? In the Garden of Eden, walking with man in the cool of the evening. Ever since they were driven out of the Garden of Eden, out of God's presence because of sin, God has been working to restore the lost intimacy. I will live among you. Verse 11. That's the aim. God's plan of salvation is focused on Jesus. God himself coming to live with us. That's how God saved us, by coming to live with us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And one day, all those who put their faith in Jesus will hear a loud voice from the throne of God in heaven declare this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The start of the Bible and the end of the Bible. This is the important thing that God wants Judah to know. He will live with them again. They will know his presence and experience his glory, but it will not be as it was before. In the future, they will have a vast city without walls, encircled by the fire of God, God himself, and joined by countless others from all the nations who will be joined to the Lord and enjoy his blessing. What a vision for Judah. What a vision for us. Is that what you want to see happen? Are you seeking for our city to grow without walls, without human religion and rules, to welcome in everybody from every nation, to whomever the Lord will call to himself? Is that what we want here? Are you aware that God himself is a wall of fire protecting us? We may feel that we are weak. Last week particularly, I had a conversation with somebody. We can feel we are surrounded by sickness, sadness, sin. But God, the living fire, is the one who surrounds us. And he surrounds us with arms of love. So be comforted, be strengthened, be encouraged by this truth. Are you seeking his glory and not your own? Do we care what the world thinks of us? Well, yes, we do. We are. That's us. But let's think about that. Do we really care what the world, the Antichrist world, thinks of us? God thinks we're great. Yes. Absolutely, Harry. God thinks we're great. And he's chosen us to make his home with. How glorious is that? Are you blown away by knowing you are the apple of his eye? If not, spend more time thinking about it. Enjoy him. Above all else, are you seeking his presence to enjoy intimacy with the Father as children? Jesus says, abide in my love. It's a command. Abide in my love. Let's pray. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Lord, we thank you that you have roused yourself. You've come here to dwell with us, to save us, and to be present with us always through the Holy Spirit. All your idea, all mercy and grace, none of our doing. And we say thank you. Help us to be still and know that you are God. Amen. This leads us to communion. This is a beautiful picture of intimacy. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. So this meal of bread and non-alcoholic wine, bread and wine that Jesus started, is a most amazing picture of intimacy. We eat the bread and the wine as Jesus' body and blood. It's a mysterious unity and intimacy that is beyond words. But how do we enter in God's presence to eat this meal? What gives us the right to come to a holy God? And it's the blood of Christ. He has died, poured out his blood that we might come and share this meal. And this meal is for everyone who believes in Jesus and wants to say thank you for what he's done for us. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, if you know that Jesus loves you, has died for you, and you want to say thank you, then share in this meal. If that's not where you are at the moment, then when the trays come by, just pass them on. We're going to sing a song in a moment that is entitled, "It's Your Blood That Cleanses Me." And as we sing that, you might want to sing, you just might want to listen. It reminds us that all of us can come to this meal. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. God has provided everything that's needed in Jesus for us to come. So we've had this wonderful invitation. come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little, and you would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, because we are his body. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And this meal is wonderfully simple. It's not meant to be complicated at all. Some of you will have seen Charles and Camilla yesterday sharing in this meal. And it's very simple. The Apostle Paul tells us of how it started. Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you." In the same way, later on in the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Andrew is going to lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, as we gather around the table again, we come in awe and amazement at what you've done for us, willing to leave the glories of heaven to come to earth, knowing that your destiny was going to be a cross. You who are righteous for the unrighteous, taking our sins upon yourself, knowing that we might have freedom. Jesus, this morning, as we take the bread and the wine, we again just say thank you. It seems so inadequate for all that you went through for us, but this morning, with grateful hearts, we say thank you for the sacrifice you've made for each one of us. Amen.
Amen. So as the bread and the wine come to you, eat this bread in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him by faith and thanksgiving. The cups of wine, you'd like to keep hold of those, and we'll drink them together as a sign of our unity.
Thank you.
Everyone's included. Drink and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you've set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the ways in which we seek God's glory and can see his glory come is by prayer. And we've already mentioned we've got a particular focus today to pray for King Charles and Queen Camilla. The Benedictus, who saw the coronation yesterday? Most people saw some of it. Have you got any pictures for me? You can bring them out, or I'll come to you. All right, bring them out. I've got a microphone. That's right, you don't have... I'll come to you. I don't want anybody being shy. Oh, you're coming, are you? Coming. Come on, then. Come on. This looks fabulous. Come, follow me. Thank you very much. You had to tell me your name.
Hannah.
So, Hannah, what have you put on your card?
Just King Charles and his orb and scepter.
The orb and scepter. Do you remember what the orb is about?
About the world and the cross on it, because God is all the King of Kings.
Absolutely. Well said. That's exactly right. So, can you hold it up a bit higher? That's wonderful. Thank you. I'm going to come to the prayer in a moment. And the scepter. Do you know what that's about?
No, not really.
He's in charge, isn't he? It's a symbol of authority over the nation. Great. And can you just read this here? What you put here?
And this is the promise he said yesterday. I am here to serve, not to be served.
Wow. Jesus said, I came not to serve, but to serve. And then he said the same words. What a wonderful way for the coronation to start. And thank you so much, Hannah, for what you showed. Let me have a look at this. Hannah, I need you. Sorry, I need that prayer.
He did, the Buckingham Palace, right, Dan? Dan, that's what it was, right?
That's fine. We know that boys are the ones who need the ladies' help, don't we? That's fine. So can you just tell me what your name is?
Jessica.
So Jessica's the bold one. And who's the not quite so bold but the artistic one? What's his name?
Harry.
No, this one.
What, this one?
Who's that?
Daniel.
Where
is it?
Thank you, Daniel. I much appreciate it.
Who is this in the window now?
It's Charles and Camilla.
Charles and Camilla.
That's excellent. Harry, what have you got for me? Can I have a look? Thank you very much. This is the glory, all the colour of yesterday. Thank you, Harry. We heard that about all nations are coming into the kingdom. We had a picture of that yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
All the Commonwealth nations, all the colours of the flags and the clothes, all the different colours of skin that are present in the cathedral. Everybody of all nations throughout this country and throughout the world. Thank you for the multicolour. Now, there's a prayer here. Could you tell us what that prayer?
The prayer is, may our new king be smart and a skillful ruler, and may God give him the gift of wisdom and health.
Wow. So let's pray. Can I borrow your prayer? I'm going to pray that prayer again, and then just let's pray. And thank you for being bold enough to come up here. This is so wonderful. Lord God, may our new king be a smart and skillful ruler. And may God give him the gift of wisdom and health. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Lord, as we prayed it, as Leslie prayed a little earlier, there was all the glory and the majesty in that place yesterday in that church. But Lord, nothing is more glorified than you. And we raise you up today, as we raised our King up yesterday. We pray that he will rule with your help, Lord, and he will look to you for guidance.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll meet Charles every day with what he needs. Father, it's often described as being a very lonely place to be. But Jesus will be alongside him. May he never feel lonely. May his family surround him. May the Christians are doing the building surround him. And Father, may he know that you're with him every step of the way. And you'll be with him with every difficult decision he needs to make. He just needs to ask.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you that as Hannah has drew here, the cross is on top of the world with that orb. And so you are the King of Kings. But we thank you that he has bowed the knee to you. He has been anointed with oil in your name. And as we heard Zadok the priest did for Solomon. So we know you have done for King Charles. You have anointed him with oil, a sign of your blessing and favor. And we pray that with the pictures here in front of us of the nation and of the scepter of authority, of the crown and the celebrations and the fireworks, Lord, we pray that this reign may be a glorious reign under you, empowered by you. Under the King Charles' reign, we pray that your church will grow and thrive because he upholds your word and that the government upholds your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the glory that you have, that you give to whoever you choose. And we pray you bless Charles and Camilla with your glory as they honor your name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I keep this up here? Thank you, Hannah. So can we have a round of applause for our team? So this was the Karen prayer team who arrived today, and without whom we would have nothing. So thank you so much. Our final hymn to finish our service, and I know it's been a longer time today, but I hope you can see why. Our final hymn was chosen, really, before I'd thought about it being Coronation Day. There is a higher throne. And it's just, it just says it.
Than all this world is known, where faithful ones.
We finish our service with the opportunity to sing Today of All Days, the national anthem, the first verse, God Save.